How y'all doing this morning? You know, I say this, I come every 2 years and I say this because I say it everywhere I go because I really believe it. God's people are supposed to have more fun than anybody else. You believe that? I know the band's having fun. And by the way, the music keeps getting better and better. I see that bass player over there wearing a tie, but he's walking the dog. There's something unique going on. When everybody's playing funky stuff in church, I like it. Amen. Anyway, we're going to have a good time this morning. The Bible is good news. The gospel means good news. And I don't have any bad news. All I have is some good news I'm going to submit to you today. That's my job and Christy's job, is to give you information. Revelation is just holy information. It's just what... Why did God write the Bible? Some people think the Bible is a book about God, but it's actually a bunch of letters from God to you. It's a book he wrote to me and you. It's got over 7,000 promises in it. And the good news is he has made up his mind already before we even discuss it, before we even read the Bible, before we even look at it. He said those promises are all yes and amen. In other words, if you ask him to forgive you of your sins, he's already decided. He's never said no. It's yes and amen. You need healing in your body? He's not going to say no. I got one thank you and two amens. Anybody else want to vote? You might get sick. Just in case you were to ever get sick, you might want to go on and give God a little glory and let him know. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, I'm 74, and if you get that many miles on you, you're probably going to have to deal with a test in that area of sickness and disease. But the good news is, he delivers us out of them all. He is not withholding any good and perfect gift. That's what his word says. So if you need a good, perfect gift today from heaven, it's not, you don't have to talk him into being good. He's good whether you like it or not. And he's going to do some good stuff this morning in somebody's lives. And the good news is he allows you to decide whether it's you or not. Now, some people just sleep in church. I don't know why they do that. I don't get it. I'd stay home where the pillow's comfortable and the, you know what I mean? But a lot of people come to church and snore, you know, and sleep through it. And, of course, those are the ones that have to come for counseling. Where the counselor tells them what they preached on Sunday, but, you know, they were missing in action. So, but the good news is we're all in this together. I'm just one of y'all. Christy and I, we're not some hotshot preachers or something. We're just so thankful that we're on our way to heaven. I don't deserve to go to heaven. Oh, my goodness. I'm so glad you don't know what I've done. But God forgave me. And he, amen, amen, glory to God, cast my sins into a sea of forgetfulness. God's never brought them up again. Wouldn't it be nice if everybody else did that? Woo, that'd change everything, wouldn't it? Oh, my goodness. Well, that's what us Christians are supposed to do. Forget the past, put it under the blood, and go back to pressing on toward the mark of the high calling. Because of what Jesus has done. Well, we're so thankful to be here. Your pastor is one of my heroes. I tell you all that. I don't know if you believe it or not, but I grew up in Georgia. And when I was a kid, I told him last night, we were out to dinner last night, and we were just fellowshipping. We talk a lot on the phone through the year. And, you know, I told him last night when I was a kid, I never wanted to be like a cop or a fireman, or I don't know what, you know, when you're a little kid, they ask you what you want to be, doctor or a lawyer or something. I always wanted to be a musician, and I wanted to be a gentleman, even though I didn't know what to call it. The people that I liked, that the men that I enjoyed being around, were kind, and they were patient. And when you're a little child, that's big. And yet, they were men, you felt safe around them, you felt like they'd take care of you, you know, they wouldn't let anybody mess with you. And I always feel when I'm in communication with your pastor that he is a strong man, but a kind and patient And he's been at this church 33 years. That's faithful, y'all. He's one of the guys that, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. This is a good influence in my life. I'm so thankful for your pastors. He and Brenda are a blessing to me and Christy in every way. And we're honored to be here with you today. Well, we're going to open up the Word. I'm going to get my good-looking wife up here. We've played you that little video about our TV show, and we will tell you more about that. It's really, really changed everything in the way we go about ministering the gospel, and we're so honored and excited. This is Christy Lefebvre, y'all.
Hi, good morning. Good morning. Well, about the TV show, I do want to let you know it's being played on the Dish Network, Dish Channel 265. But you can also get it on Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, or our website. That's the easiest way if you don't have the Dish Network. And our website is Milan.org, and you just click on the tab that says TV show, and all of the recent episodes will come up. So we're just really excited about the show because Joel says that multitudes, it says it twice, are in the valley of decision.
Amen.
For the day of the Lord is near. Jesus is coming soon. There are so many that are right now making decisions whether to serve him or not. So our heart for this show is that we help them to make the right decision.
Amen.
And choose Jesus.
Yes.
So I'd love for you to check it out. And we've been filming on location. That last drone shot, that's a drone shot, that last shot that they zoomed in on us. We were on this famous strip. Do y'all know the Forrest Gump Road? You know, where he's running, and then at one point he stops and says,
I'm tired. I'm going home.
Well, Milan, that's his favorite road, for Harley riding. He just really loves that road. So he had the guys do that drone shot, and Pastor was asking us last night, how'd y'all do that? Well, we had our crew radio us. They connected their phones, and when no cars were coming, they'd say, run out quick. And they took that shot, and then they'd say, car's coming. Everybody would run off, and then we'd run back. So I just thought I'd tell you that little side story. So it's been an adventure, and we're really excited. We're filming on location in beautiful places all over the country so that you can taste and see that the Lord is good, that our God is a good God. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. So that's the first. Did you want to add anything about that?
It took us 12 years to find that road. I rode all over the West looking for that thing. It's in Utah.
Yeah.
Monument Valley, Utah. It's pretty cool.
It's wonderful.
Beautiful place.
Amen. So the also
and that's our goal is to take you to the prettiest places we can find. I think you know by looking at me that I not only need a haircut, but I go about things a little different than most preachers. And when God saved me, I wasn't going to church. My granddaddy was a preacher, and I was raised in church, but I didn't see what I thought. I won't go there right now, but the bottom line is I didn't receive. I believe there was a God, and I believe that Jesus was his son. And I gave Jesus my problems. But I didn't give him my life. So I just went on doing what I thought was best, leaning on my own understanding and living in sin and begging God to fix it. And I called that Christianity because I believed there was a God and I believed in Jesus. I wasn't a Muslim. I wasn't an atheist. I thought I was a Christian. And I had made Jesus basically my junk man. You give him what you're ashamed of, what you're not doing good at. When you get caught, you know what I mean? When the blue lights come on behind you and you're running 80, even atheists holler, oh, Jesus, God, have mercy, Lord. You know what I mean? When the car starts spinning out of control on the ice, everybody's hollering, oh, Jesus. But I actually gave him my life in 1980 and my hopes and dreams and relationships. And Jesus became Lord of my life. And that's when it started getting good. So, we're just excited and thankful that we're going to get to share a bunch of that with you today.
And the title for the show, On the Road to Freedom, we base that on John 8:31 and 32, where Jesus said, if you will continue in my word, then you truly are my disciples.
Yeah.
And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So the more we continue in the Word, which is what you're doing today in church,
yeah.
you're continuing in the Word, then the freer we get. So we're all on that road to freedom, and we're getting freer every day. Amen.
Amen.
And so it's also the reason why we offer these materials to you, these faith resources. This is the truth of God's Word. So we have it available in His testimony. We have two books we'd like to show you. This one is titled Without Him, and it's a revision of the original book, Live Forever. But it's the same book. I want to clarify this if you've seen the book before. The publisher redid it because this version, it's a hardcover coffee table size. But on the front, we did a BC and an AD. And we did that so people could really see what the Lord has done. But on the front, he's a heroin addict. We're going into prisons. This book is being given in rehab centers, homes, Salvation Army event we just did. We handed out hundreds to men who were in halfway houses, who had just gotten out of prison, and those who were homeless. So that's what this book is going towards. So this cover, the original cover, was meant to reach those guys. But the publisher said this picture was scaring the Christians. Okay.
So much so that they would have nothing to do with it.
Right.
They would not allow it in any of their Christian bookstores. They never, right. The distributor could not distribute this book. Mm-hmm. So they went back and reprinted this one where they gave me a bath on the front. You know what I mean? And where I actually look like a Christian. It's the exact same book, except for the cover and the size.
Right.
This one's easier if you want to give it away.
It's more,
you know, the Bible says Satan's defeated by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their
Amen.
Testimony. And this is my testimony. Jesus, he's the Lamb of God. He supplies the blood. But we have to supply the testimony. And I started to tell you, we go about things differently. Everything that we do, we plan to reach the unsaved and the unchurched. Now, we minister in churches, of course. We want to encourage and build up the body of Christ and disciple Christians, but we aim all of our outreach beyond the walls of the church to the unsaved and the unchurched. So if you buy it, the bottom line is if you buy either one of these, this one's easier to give away if you want to send it to somebody.
Yeah.
This one's bigger, but it's 114 pictures. And you would know a lot of these people that are in here. It's just a history. Here's what the Lord told me. He said, son, most Christians write a book after they get born again, and they tell all the sweet, wonderful things that Jesus did for them. But they don't admit all the stupid, dumb, selfish, proud, foolish stuff they did so that people can see why the devil got such a good shot at them. He said, I want you to be transparent. I want you to humble yourself, and I want you to tell them the good, bad, and the ugly so that those prisoners will see what happens when somebody gets on their knees and starts reading the Bible and trying to do what it says.
Yeah.
And there isn't anybody on the earth. If you know, if you got a family member that's a drug addict, they ought to read this book. An alcoholic, some people spend 20 years going to meetings trying to kick alcohol and going what they call falling off the wagon. I got born again in 1980. I had taken every drug but birth control for 20 years every day. And I never got stoned again. Now listen, this is a miracle, y'all. I don't have to go to any meetings except church. I got born again. I got delivered. I never took another drug. I never got drunk again. I never touched another man's wife. I'm telling you, a miracle happened that day. And glory to God. Glory to God. So if you know somebody that needs one of these, if you buy either one of these, then instead of them giving me royalties, which is what normally happens when you write a book, they have to give me more of these little books. And we take them, we give them to the people that wouldn't get them any other way. Me and you'll get some people born again. We'll take them to heaven with us. That's the bottom line.
Amen. And, you know, anytime you buy the resources and even given the offering, you're supporting the word, the gospel going forth through the TV show. All of the increase that comes into the ministry now, we are putting towards the TV show and reaching the nations.
Right.
And we're believing that nations are coming to our light. We're real excited. We Brother Copeland's network is the network that we're on, and it's reaching 14 million viewers. And we are getting testimonies every day of people's lives being touched, delivered, saved, and set free. So if you want to be a part of that, either.
And you can believe God with them. They're negotiating with DirecTV, which would mean another 40 million viewers. And obviously, you can lead more people to Jesus if more people are watching. So that's what we're believing for.
Amen. And then we also have music. We have Mylon's Praise and Worship Bow Down. We have the Rockin' Stuff, Mylon and Broken Heart, The Greatest Hits. If you saw the band back in the day, we have those available. We also have, this is brand new, we got so many requests for our Broken Heart hats. So this is our vintage design from Broken Heart, and it's just got the great cross on the front. So if you want to check that out. A great witnessing tool, the hats are. And then we also have Mylon's teaching today, God is Honest. And he's going to go here, but of course this is going to have more detail on it. And this will teach you that there is a difference between believing there is a God and believing God.
Amen.
So we have this available. And then the last one I want to tell you about is my testimony in the format of a children's book titled The Adventures of Twirling Girl. And this is how the Father proved to me that a father of the fatherless is God. And that even though my earthly daddy had walked away, that I have a heavenly Father. He loves me, he cares for me, and he hears me when I pray. And the revelation that I received at this young age, my mom was a single mom, we were in government subsidized housing, and Jesus, really, we had to rely on him to meet every need. And he is faithful.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And he did it.
Thank you, Lord.
And so I'm so thankful to our good God. And that revelation of my heavenly Father at that young age kept me. It kept me through my teenage years, through the peer pressure, through college, in my career, this revelation. So I encourage you, parents, to really check out the book for your little ones, the CD that comes with it. This is for you, ladies. This is for you, aunts and moms and grandmas. It comes with it. And this is where I tell my testimony of this book. And, you know, I also want to encourage you. I just received an opportunity, if you agree with us, for this open door. I have an opportunity to get the book into the public school system in Albuquerque, New Mexico, of all places. But we don't know anybody in Albuquerque, but that's where God started opening the door. And then also Christian schools and some other events where they are trying to get this book into the hands of the little ones. And so I want to encourage you, if you could join your faith with us, that this book is really going to reach them and let them know how much the Father loves them. Amen. And then we also have a website at Mylon.org. You can get all the resources on the web, our itinerary, Mylon's bio. You can join, connect with all of our social media sites. We have a free app, same keyword. You can join Team Mylon, find out where we're going to be next, and check out the TV show. We've got some Team Mylon members here. The Carrolls, would you stand? They drove hours to be here today. Thank you for being here. Dave and Teresa Carroll, thank you.
Thank you.
And if you want to be a part of helping us share the gospel and going into all the world, you can sign up at the table. And also I want to tell you, pastors, Pastor Carl, Pastor Brenda, thank you for the honor and the privilege of being here today. We honor you. You know, the word says to give honor where it's due, and honor is due your pastors.
Yes.
They are faithful. The word says a faithful man who can find. It's rare. That means it's rare.
Yeah, yeah.
So we honor you as faithful men and a man and woman of God that is faithful to the Lord, to his kingdom and his call. So we love you. And we love you too. We already love you. So we're excited about today. God's
Amen.
Got good things in store. And it's going to be good. Amen.
Thank you.
I remember now. I'm just relaxing. You know, I feel like I'm home with family. So is that okay? I want to encourage you. The scripture the Lord prompted me with to encourage you with today is Proverbs 19:20. And it says, hear counsel, receive instruction, and accept correction that you may be wise in the time to come. Ooh, that's so good.
Amen.
So if we'll have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying, if we'll receive instruction when we hear it, and if we'll even accept correction. Now, a lot of times we don't want to hear about that because the flesh always thinks it's doing just fine.
Yeah.
But correction can mean a simple adjustment, just an adjustment in your thinking. So I encourage you to, but you know, that correction, what's so important is we're to compare ourselves to Jesus. We're to be transformed, changed into the image of the Son of God. And every time I compare myself to Jesus, I need to change. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So this is so important to have a teachable heart. So we accept correction by the Spirit of God. Now, yes, Here's the reward, that we may be wise in the time to come. Wisdom is the principal thing. It's number one, God said, wisdom. Amen. So this is so good. Will you say this after me as a declaration of your faith? I hear the counsel of God.
I hear the counsel of God.
And I receive His instruction.
And I receive His instruction.
And I gladly accept His correction.
And I gladly accept His correction.
That I may be wise.
That I may be wise.
In the time to come.
In the time to come.
Amen. Amen. So
Amen.
Be it. We love you.
Thank you, Becky. Hallelujah. Now, I just need you guys to join your faith with me this morning. I already know the Lord gave me the first song He ever gave me, the one Elvis put that changed everything. It said, without Him, I can do nothing. I was reading in John 15. I had just gotten out of high school. I was in the Army in Fort Jackson, South Carolina. In Columbia, and I was reading in John 15, it said, He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches, and He said, if you stay plugged into me, I'm paraphrasing this, Jesus said, if you just stay plugged into me, I'm plugged into God, and you'll produce fruit, and you can do anything, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. But He said, without me, you can do nothing, and so that's the song that, and the Lord, and I've written thousands of songs since then, but never wrote one that good. It was innocent. I didn't even see it coming. I've been trying to write one that good ever since. It was a childlike statement of faith. I can't do anything without you. Now, it's been really good for Him to use that to remind me my whole life. I'm 74 now, and I was 17. I can't do anything without the Lord, but with Him, I can do anything. If He tells me to do it, then I'm anointed to do it, and the devil can't stop me. Praise God. Now, you need to take some of that home with you. When you're anointed, when you find out what the exact plan of God is, the purpose and will of the Holy Spirit, when it's revealed to you, and that's what the Bible is, it's the will of God. The New Testament is exactly what God wants us to do in these last days, how He wants us to live, how He wants us to act, how He wants us to think, how He wants us to talk. He wants us to react. And when we find out the will of God, then the anointing of the Holy Spirit. How many of you know when you got born again, the Spirit of God came to live in you? The Bible says your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit if you're born again. God, say this with me. God lives in me. Now, if you're not a Christian yet, we'll get that fixed in just a minute. But if you're a Christian, God lives in you. And you need to think. Selah means pause and think about it. You need to spend some time meditating on that fact. God's not up there on a cloud someplace hiding. And when you're praying and you say amen, He doesn't leave. He's always here. He has decided to live in His people. Your body, when you invited Jesus to come in, He came by His Spirit. And He's dwelling in you. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So the power of God is always right there available to you. There's problems out here, but the solution is in here if you're a Christian. The problem is, and what we're going to study today, is how do you get that Him out here where the circumstances need help? And you do that by believing and speaking. And so we're going to talk about that some today, but I want you to join your faith with me because I don't want to waste your time. Our God's are mine. We need the plan of God and the will of God is to raise the quality of your life because He's in love with you. You believe you're His daughter? You believe you're His son? You love your kids? We're made in His image. He's in love with you. He's seen you suffer, and He doesn't like that any more than you like watching your kids suffer or your wife or somebody you love. It is the will of God for this to not be just a nice little church service and then go back to doing everything and fighting the devil on our own. That is not the will of God. The will of God is for you to be so full of the Holy Ghost and so anointed that when the devil attacks you, you kick his ugly behind out of your life and put him under your feet, and you walk in such victory that everybody around you wants what you got. That's what the anointing is for. That Jesus is so high and lifted up in your life that everybody around you that knows you ain't smart enough to be that blessed. I went to school with you. I know you. Come on now. To be driving that car and it paid for and living in that house, wait up. Something's going on. I'm telling you, God wants to bless you. And he wants to bless you so much that it's amazing when people watch and see what's happening. Will y'all join your faith with me this morning that we can hear Pastor Malin and hear God? Father, we come to you, sir, in the holy name of Jesus. Lord, we humble ourselves before you. We know we have nothing to offer but our lives. We submit them to you. We humble ourselves, Lord. We believe that we receive a fresh anointing today, not just on me to preach, but on my brothers and sisters to hear you. Holy Spirit, I thank you, God, that you are revealing yourself, that you grant us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the intimate knowledge of God. That discernment, that you open the eyes of our understanding and that the light comes on in our hearts and minds today. And we'll be careful. We'll be very careful, sir. My master, we'll be very careful to give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm going to submit something to you that's been preached to you many, many times, I'm sure, in many, many ways. But I learned some more about it in the last couple of years since I was here last. You know, you grow up, and I learned early on when I became a Christian, started studying the Word, that the Word of God is for whoever believes it. And so when I would run on some scriptures that were exciting to do with healing or being blessed, I'd always claim those for myself. Well, some of those scriptures, you know, as you get older, some of them become, you know, you don't really, when you're 30, you're not really thinking about when I'm old, my eyes will see and my ears will hear. You know what I mean? There's some stuff you're concentrating more on. Somebody slaps you and you turn the other cheek. You don't get that right away. Come on, you just have to go to the next page when you read that. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. When you're young and it's like, well, I'll get to that later. If somebody wants some of this, I'll give them some of it, you know. So you have to grow up in the Lord before you're going to get some stuff that's in the Word. But there is a scripture in there that talks about, he said, your latter years will be greater than your former. First time I read that, I thought, I'll take that. I don't know if anybody else wants in that, but I had some cool stuff happen in my former years. And I thought, how am I going to get there, man? Latter is going to be greater, and as you get older, it looks more and more impossible. You know what I mean? I mean, normally, if you do something like starting a TV show, you know what? I don't know if you know, but it costs an extra $1 million a year, or close to it. I haven't been able to, we've only been at it a little bit less than a year, but it looks like it's going to be real close to $1 million. Well, if you don't have $1 million, that's a big deal. Do you really want to start that? You might start that at 30 or 40. You don't want to start that at 73. Unless God tells you to. Now, when God tells you to, that's a whole nother category. It ain't got nothing to do with logic. It has nothing to do with being objective. Or, you know what I mean? It has everything to do with, do you believe God said something to you? Have you had so many conversations with him that when he speaks, you know the difference in his voice and your brain? Because that's called living by faith. And in order to live by faith in God, which means, by the way, that you live by faith in what he says. How many of you know, if you're going to trust somebody, the only way to find out if you can trust them or not is to listen to what they say and then watch and see if they do it. The only way to find out whether you trust God or not is to read what he said and then see If you believe it, he said, I'll do it. He said, there's two things required if you're going to live by faith. Believe everything I say and then act on it. And if you act on it, how many of you know we do talk about what we believe? When it comes time to vote, everybody talks about what they think. It comes out. The Bible actually says, out of the abundance of the heart, if there's something going on in you and you think about it a lot, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. The mouth speaks. And so the bottom line is we're talking about living by faith. When God told me to do the TV show, I said, okay, Lord, I don't have any money. I don't have any cameras. I don't know any directors, producers. I don't know any cameramen. I don't know any editors. I didn't even know the names of all the people you needed to do a show. I don't have any lights. I don't have any sound. But you're still God, and I'm still Mylon, and I love to do your will. Brother Copeland, if there's any one thing he's taught me, I've seen him do it many times. He'll stand there every day and say, Lord, I'm yours to command. I don't care where you send me. I don't care what I do. I know you well enough to know you love me, and you're holy and good, and you don't do anything but wonderful stuff. So I'm just thankful to be a part of it. What do you want me to do? Just make it obvious to me, and we're going for it. And so we jumped in there, and it's been the most exciting adventure. And I get to speak now to more people. Every day I speak to more people than I did in the last 25 years of pounding the road, trying to get to them 1,000 at a time or 100 at a time or 10,000 at a time. I mean, our latter days will be greater. We're leading more people to Jesus now than ever before. So I hope that encourages you, because some of y'all got some of this white hair on top too, and I know that it's not too late. I'm just going to tell you, it's not too late to pray, and it's not too late to dream, and it's not too late to believe, and it's not too late to act on it. God can use you. You're actually wiser than you ever were before, and more capable of doing the will of God than ever before. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says this: without faith, it's impossible to please God. Does anybody want to please God? I got four hands. Anybody else want to please God? Come on now, this is serious business. I don't know about you, but are any of y'all married? You know if you're going to have holy matrimony, you better please your wife or your husband. Come on now. This is a big deal. There has to be. Well, in order to have a great relationship with God, you need to please him. He said there's only one thing. He didn't say if you pray all-night prayer meetings and fast till you get skinny, and you know what I mean? There's a lot of people trying to do works to get in that deal. He said there's one thing you got to do. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God, that's us, must believe that he is God. That's the first thing. And we also have to do is believe something else, that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, here's the important thing. I grew up in a denomination where I was taught that was over in the sweet by and by on the other side of Jordan, that reward. So it was okay for us to live in that trailer and just be beat up by the devil all the time, because one of these days over yonder. Well, I just want to tell you that reward is not just in heaven. It's in South Carolina, and it's here today. Listen, you don't need healing when you get to heaven. There ain't any sickness there. This faith, what do you get by living by faith? Well, what do you need? Faith to God is like money. You can get anything he's got, but it takes faith to get it. You want to get saved? It's by grace through faith that you're saved. That not yourself, lest any man can boast. The grace is free, but you ain't getting any of it unless you believe he's honest. It takes faith to get the grace. You want to get healed? Healing's free, but it takes faith to get it. You want to prosper and be blessed as your soul prospers? Then you got to have faith to do that. You got to believe that you can prosper and be blessed. And then you'll get in the Word and let your souls, your mind, will, and your emotions, you'll get your soul in there and let God bless you and transform you by the renewing of your mind. Amen? This reward You know, you wouldn't need to prosper when you get to heaven. Everything's free. In my Father's house are many mansions. This is a good place to go. Heaven is a good, come on now. My mom and dad used to sing this song. I just want a little cabin in the corner of glory land. This is a cool song. But there ain't no cabins in the corner of glory land, y'all. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I'd have told you. You want to live in a trailer? You're going to have to stay here. Come on now. God is good, and His blessings are amazing. And He wants to share them with you this week. Amen. Now let's look at 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, there's only two ways to live in South Carolina, that you can live by faith or you can live by sight. Now, by sight is the natural way, and it's the way you learned when you were a little kid. And, you know, you ever watch a two-year-old man, they got to know what's under that sink. There's something on the other side of those little doors under there, and it might taste good. Soap, I mean, what, you know, what that Babo, whatever it is, man, they want a bite of it. And those kids are going to go find everything they can reach and study it and try to figure out what they want that information. Man, that's the way you grow up. And you lean on your own understanding from the information you get. Now, Jesus said, lean not on your own understanding. You will not live by faith if you demand that God only do the things in your life that you understand. You will so limit your life. God does all kind of stuff that's beyond my comprehension. And He does it for me, praise God, because I live by faith. Now, living by faith means, sight. If you live by sight, that's the natural way. If you live by faith, that's the supernatural way. Now, who wants to live the supernatural life? Some people think, oh, you're just a spirit. You're just religious all the time. Yes. I had somebody tell me, you're just always super spiritual. I asked God about that. I said, God, I don't want to be one of those Holy Joe characters that's no good to anybody. I've heard people call too heavenly minded, no earthly good, you know, that kind of stuff. I asked the Lord about it. He said, son, I am spirit, and everything I do is spiritual. If you want to do things my way, then you can't go too far in that. Just come on, jump in here with me. Amen. He said, don't lean on your own understanding. Now, the just shall live by faith. That's Hebrews 10:38. That's our lifestyle. If you're justified by your faith in God, then you will live by faith and not by sight. You will not allow your comprehensive skills and analytical skills, that's wonderful to use them. Wisdom is the principal thing. We need wisdom. But it will not stop us from doing whatever God tells us, whether we understand it or not. For instance, the problem in the earth, and I know you know this, but let me go back to the Garden of Eden. Let me break this down as simply as I can. In the Garden of Eden, life was perfect. Man, it was awesome. God created Adam. He would hang out with him. He eventually realized Adam's lonely when I'm not there. The Bible says God would go hang out in the cool of the evening. And so He created Eve for Adam, and Adam had his helpmate, and Adam was Eve's helpmate, and they had it made. They didn't have to work. They had the best food on the earth, cool water. They had everything was perfect. They got to hang out in the presence of God. They had each other. It was heavenly. God only had one rule. You can eat everything here. You can do anything. He said, you're the gods of this world. If that's an insect and you call it an ant, then it's an ant. If something flies overhead and you call it a bird, it's a bird. You are in dominion. You're the gods of this world. And man, they had it made. It was, and you talk about perfect weather. They found out later on they were naked. Now, do you know how good the weather has to be for you to be naked and not know it? That's some good. You don't need a t-shirt. That's good weather, y'all. Come on now. I mean, it was perfect up in here. And all of a sudden, And God said to him, you can eat anything in here except that one fruit, that one tree, and that's my tithe, that's mine. He said, if you eat that, you'll die. And y'all notice what the devil comes along. He's only got one goal in mind, and his goal, and by the way, Jesus said, Satan is the father of all lies. He is the ultimate liar. Now, Adam and Eve been hanging out with God, and the devil comes along and says to Eve, God told you if you eat of that one, you'll die, but you won't. He's a liar. You can eat of that, and you'll find out what he knows, and then you won't need him. You'll be God. And so she ate of that. Now, the Bible says Adam knew better. He wasn't deceived, but he ate it anyway because he wanted to hang with Eve. He chose Eve over God. And that's when sin entered the world. Everything that frustrates you, the chaos that surrounds us, the horrible things that are happening. I couldn't help but see on the news how many 29,000 homes burned in California. One of those people is those are pastors that we preach for, some of them. I mean, wiped out. They were in the middle of a conference. And had people staying at their house that were ministering, other ministers that you would know, staying at their house, and the fires come up the hill and they all have to run for their lives and go to a hotel. And they're in the middle of a conference at their church, which has got thousands of people in it. And when church is over, their house is gone. I mean, that's just this week. When you look at that, now here's what the insurance companies will call that, an act of God. That's what it says on those insurance policies for those houses. When Katrina hit down there, or Harvey, or whatever the name of those, they always blame it on God. It's always an act of God. Have you noticed there's no such thing as an act of the devil? Why? The devil never gets the blame for anything. Kill kids and babies and widows and horrible, horrible stuff. And everybody blames it on God. Now, God is good. And the devil's bad. We got to settle that. If something good's happening at your house, that's God. If there's any killing and destroying, lying and division and strife and all that stuff, that is not God. That's the devil. So Satan comes in there. He lies to Eve. And by the way, that's exactly the same test that Adam and Eve had. That's the same one that every Christian has. And you have it every day. Deuteronomy talks about there's choices. Moses read the Bible to them, all they had. They only had five books in those days. And he read them to Israel, and then he read this in 30:19. He said, I've set before you life and death, the blessings of the curse. Now choose life, that you and your children may live. Choose. It's a choice. Now you and I make choices all day, every day. And we either make those because we believe God or we believe the liar. And the liar, when Adam and Eve submitted to him and turned against God, he became the god of this world. So he has influence. He can set up circumstances that look real. But remember, he's a liar. And whether you live by faith or not, for instance, if you go to the doctor and you're hurting and something's not right in your body and you know it and you've had symptoms for a long time, and the doctor does a blood test, and they run some CAT scans. They got some big machines down there at the hospital. I mean, some expensive, and those guys are educated. They got all kind of information. They can scare you with words so long you can't spell or pronounce them. And don't even read the side effects of the medicine they're going to give you. It's much worse than the original disease. And then you got to, before they operate on you, you got to sign something that says, if they just completely kill you right there on the table, it's your fault. You can't sue them, right? Come on now. But the bottom line is, Jesus, in his word, God said, by his stripes you were healed. Is that what your Bible says? Well, the only reason God let them beat, do you know how hard it'd be to watch your son being beat? Hit by those Roman soldiers and beat with a cat of nine tails and ripping his flesh and blood and them pounding that crown of thorns into his skull and scalp and and spitting on him and sticking him with swords and spears. And God allowed that so that by his stripes you could be healed. And do you know how dishonoring it is to God for us to believe when the doctor says you're going to die, we believe the doctor instead of God? Well, this is some bad stuff we found here. You ought to be the one to look at that doctor in the eye and say, that isn't bad stuff, Doc. That'd kill an unbeliever. So I need you to document this, because when the Holy One of Israel shows up at my house and manifests his healing power, I want you to be able to prove to all my friends that God is honest. And he's not just the God or a God. Praise God, he's my God. Amen? That's called living by faith. Nothing changes. If the doctor says you're dying, Jesus is still on the throne. Ain't nothing changed. God's still God, and he still tells the truth. You're just being tested. Let's go to James, the first chapter, and the fifth verse. I take that back. Let's go to James, the first chapter, and the second verse, please. I'm going to read this in the NIV. I know I sent you two versions. Thank you. I apologize. That was my fault. The tech people are doing so good. James 1 and verse 2 in the NIV says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that it's the testing of your faith, that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Now, stop and look up here at me for a second. It's just a test. If you can remember this, when something goes wrong, if it's an accident, if it's sickness and disease, anytime, Jesus said this, he said, there is a thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But he said, I was sent here from heaven that you'd have a better quality of life, abundant life. What a great name for a church. Glory to God. Amen. Now, that's what this whole ministry is about. 33 and a little extra years ago, this Holy Spirit spoke to your pastor and said, I want you to call this the place where you can get more of me, abundant life in God. That's what living by faith is about. And when the test comes, you know it's just a test into your faith, and it will produce perseverance. Let's go back to King James. If I messed you up by going to NIV, let's go to New King James. That's okay. I can teach it out of there. I got two versions of it because I was just trying to. It's so important for you to see all of this. James 1 and verse 2 in any version you got, please. He said, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. That means patience. You learn how to wait on the Lord. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Okay, let's go to 3, please. All right, perfect. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Let's go to 4, please. But let patience have its perfect work. In other words, wait on the Lord, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. How many of you know that's the will of God? He's trying to perfect you. He's perfecting the things which concern you. His will is to perfect you. His will is to change me and you into the image of the Son of God. His will is, Mylon, stop being like Mylon. Get rid of all your excuses. Well, but that's the way my daddy was, and that's the way my granddad and my uncles, and it's excuses. I used to be a Lefebvre. Now I'm a Christian. I'm still a Lefebvre, but first of all, I have an allegiance to my Father and to my Lord and my Master, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What is my life about? Changing. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds in Christ Jesus. Once you get your mind renewed, you start thinking like, you get the mind of Christ, you start thinking like God. How many of y'all know God ain't worried about nothing this year? He ain't worried about what North Korea's up to. They mess with him, he'll show them who's boss. The devil, he ain't sweating the devil. Jesus came here, lived for us, died for us, went to hell for us so we wouldn't have to go. Whooped the devil, took the keys to death, hell, and the grave, rose again. Amen. When Jesus rose again, here's the first thing he said to his disciples. He hadn't seen them since he died for them, went to hell and accomplished everything that needed to be done. He said, it's finished. I've done everything I came here to do. Praise God. He said, now I'm going back to heaven. I'm going to sit down to right hand the Father in the place of all authority. And he said, but because I did everything God told me to do and sent me here to do, all power has been given unto me. That's the word he gave. He said, so I'm going to heaven, but my ministry is going to continue because I'm giving you the power. So go into all the world, teach and preach, and make disciples. But in order to teach and preach and make disciples, you got to start out by being a disciple. And that means following Jesus. Now, it ain't always easy. They paid me a whole lot of money in rock and roll to be a heathen. I was a hero. In rock and roll, I'm telling you, I lived like the devil, and everybody applauded me for it. And I was making, back in the day when I quit to live for Jesus, I was making, my band would get paid like $35,000, $40,000 a day. I had to pay their salaries. I had to pay my manager 20%, my booking agent 15%. All that came off the top every day. All the plane tickets, all the hotel bills, all the food and per diem, and you know how it is. All that came off. I'm still making $8,000 or $10,000 a day. That's a good job. Back in the 60s, that was some good money. Well, when I got born again, I walked away from that to become a janitor at my church and go to Bible study. Do you know how long I got to keep the Porsche that would go 230 miles an hour that I had to go to Germany to get because they don't sell them in America? I mean, I had some toys, y'all. When you're making some jack, you can have the place at the beach and the yacht. And I mean, I had some serious toys. I had a guitar collection that Eric Clapton wanted. And when you go from making 10 grand a day to making 175 a week cleaning toilets at the church, they start coming getting your toys. Which was okay with me because I wasn't going to hell anymore. I knew I was winning in that deal. But my ex-wife hadn't made that decision yet. I decided I didn't want to do drugs anymore. Well, she hadn't made that decision. Instead of buying drugs, I wanted to tithe. That was not a peaceful conversation. Oh, you're going to give our money away? And we didn't have much. My tithes when I first got born again were $17.50 on $175 a week. $17.50, that's where I started. And it was a lot in those days. Because I went from living in a mansion to living in a 1,500 square foot, 41-year-old house and driving a used Honda and cleaning toilets. But man, it was the best decision I ever made in my life. Now, listen, all I'm telling you is there might be, you know, don't be fussing if it's hard. It wouldn't have been so hard if I hadn't spent 30 years living like the devil. We can't blame that on my mother-in-law or my ex-wife. I was the one that met her in the bar. Come on, the devil didn't ask her to go home that night. That was me. Come on. The mess that I made it. Now, the devil helped me. Come on. He tempted me to do it, and he helped me and made it easy. But the bottom line is, I was raised in church, and I could have made right decisions, and I didn't, because I didn't trust God. I didn't really believe. If I saw the CAT scan, I leaned on my own understanding and thought, uh-oh, I'm dying. No, well, praise God. That's not the way faith works. And I didn't have any. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I wasn't reading the Bible in those days. But if you read the Bible every day, what does that mean? That means you're letting God talk to you. If you read the Bible, you are actually having a conversation with God. Those are God's words, and they will get past your brain, and they will get into your heart. And Jesus said it's with the heart that man believes. And once that Word of God gets in your heart, when the devil comes against you, you realize this ain't nothing but a test. The good thing about a test is you can pass that baby. And when do y'all remember being in the fourth grade? They give you some information, and then you take a test. If you pass the test, you're in the fifth grade. If you don't, you're in the fourth grade next year. No matter what a nice guy you are. No matter how cute your hair is, ladies. If you fail the test, you're still in the fourth grade. And some Christians have been in the fourth grade for 40 years. Don't look around right now. And definitely don't touch the person next to you. Don't do that, huh? That would not be good. Let patience have its perfect work. You may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That's the will of God. What did I do with that? Let's go to the next verse, please. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. It'll be given to him. Let's go to the next one, please. But let him ask in faith, with no doubt. For he who doubts, he who's not sure if God will do everything he said he would do, is like a wave tossed by the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. And here's the scariest verse. Verse 7 is the scariest verse in the Bible. Let not that man or woman suppose they'll receive anything from God. Well, you can go to church all you want to, but if you think God's a liar, you ain't getting nothing from him. You get sick, you are fighting it on your own. You better hope you got the best doctor, because the great physician's going to be sitting there on the throne wondering why you didn't believe he was on it. He doesn't expect you to be perfect. He knows me and you aren't. The only thing God requires, the only thing he requires, is that you believe he's perfect. And he's honest. Say it with me. God tells the truth. God is honest. Now, let me say this. The fight of faith is not ever against people. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting against great powers and principalities in the unseen world. We're fighting against rulers of darkness. These are devils and demons. One of them, one of the worst ones, is called the spirit of fear. Fear and doubt and unbelief, those are the three opposites to faith, hope, and love. Fear, doubt, and unbelief is how the devil tries to scare you. The Bible says he goes around like a roaring lion. He's not a roaring lion. He's not the king of this place. But he tries to scare you. If he can get you in the corner and get you paralyzed with fear, you ain't doing nothing for God. And if he finds out what really scares you, he'll pull that card on you every time you get close to doing the will of God. Every time you're about to get your breakthrough, he'll scare you. If he finds you easily offended, then he'll have Sister so-and-so call you and pull that. If it's your sister or your brother or your mama, whoever it is, he'll use them every time. They won't know it. To get you into strife and get you out of love. Why? Because faith worketh by love. Amen. The fight of faith is always with fear. But it's a fight that you can win. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. That's victory. And you can have victory every time. It is absolute victory. Here's the scary part. Every Christian goes through this. What if I pray this prayer of faith? You know, the Bible talks about, is any among you sick? And you should call on the elders, and they'll anoint him with oil, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick. What if you pray for healing and you don't get healed. All that means is, if you've ever thought that thought, all that means is you still don't believe God's honest. You hadn't crossed that line yet. You haven't burnt that bridge. There is no possibility of God being a liar. Jesus said anything's possible. What do you need? What do you want? In fact, he even went on to say, what do you want? Anything's possible if I could just find somebody who believes I'm honest. All things are possible. Healing cancer is no, God, it's just as easy as it is healing a headache. That ain't nothing to God. Amen? Will God answer my prayer? Yes, he will. If you believe him, if you pray him in faith. Pleasing God, again, is believing God. It's the same thing. If you want to please him, then just believe him. And when the test comes, pass the test. Don't lean on your own understanding, because going to the doctor is scary. If you listen to them telling you every day that you're going to die, faith comes by hearing. Don't listen to that. Be bold enough to step. The Bible says a righteous man's bold as a lion. It might be time to tell the doctor, stop telling me the problem, because this is what I believe. You might have to tell some kinfolks, stop telling me. You know, the Bible says to resist the devil and he'll flee. What does the devil do? One of the things he does is try to kill you. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He tries to kill you. When he's trying to kill you, the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. Well, how do you know it's the devil? Jesus, the Bible says, God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and fire. What did he do with the anointing? What did Jesus do with the Holy Ghost and fire? He went around doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil. Jesus called sickness and disease oppression from the devil. So how do you get rid of it when sickness and disease attacks your body? According to Jesus, you resist the devil. If the doctor says you're dying of cancer and you say, I'm dying of cancer, that ain't resisting. That's agreeing with the devil. Thief comes to steal and kill, and you say, thank you for cancer. I'll take that. No, no, no. What you got to say is, no, I am God Almighty's child, and you have no right putting that on me. So that cancer, I curse you in Jesus' name. You die and get out of my body at a healthy pace. Now, you might have to get a little rowdy. This is not, you can't be nice to the devil. If you're trying to be kind to the devil, that won't work. The Bible says that the violent take it by the kingdom of God. They take it by force. You got to get rowdy sometime. You got to make up your mind. I'm fighting the fight of faith. It's always against fear. Well, what if I do pray? Will I get healed? Well, will you? What do you believe? Because you'll say what you believe. And once you say it, the devil heard it. Not only God. God knows where the Bible says, God said, if you honor me, I'll honor you. But if you go around saying, I'm not sure whether God will do what he said he would or not, then that's dishonoring to God. What if your kid said, you know, I love my daddy, he's a good man, but he lies all the time. You never know what he's going to do. He says one thing, but, you know, there ain't no honor in that. God is honest. He's never told one lie. There is not one lie in this word. I know I'm being a little intense, because this is, I only get to talk to you every 2 years, and Jesus is coming. I might not be here next 2 years. John 6 and verse 29 says, this is the only word that God requires from you, believe in the one he has sent. Believe. Believe. Don't have any doubt. Believe. Psalm 103, I am, it's time for me to sit down, and I am trying. Phew. Where does the time go when you're having fun? Psalm 103 and verse 1, says this, and I'm going to try my best by the grace of God. Y'all pray for me. I'm going to try to close with this. Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord. I love this. I mean, the tag on my car is in Texas. You can pay extra and get your tag to say whatever. Mine says Psalm 103. He said, bless the Lord. David was a musician. I can relate to David. He made his own axes. The Bible says he was out there by himself taking care of his daddy's sheep. And he was a man, boy. He put it on the line. When he was a teenager, he said the bear came after his daddy's sheep. He killed that bear with his bare hand. But he didn't say, I did it. He said, the Spirit of the Lord came on me, and I did it. He said when the lion came after his daddy's sheep, his daddy wouldn't even treat him like his father. You know, I went to Israel, and they explained to me over there those sage. They're like retired rabbis that have done nothing but study that old Hebrew, original Hebrew. He said that David had 7 sons. When Samuel the prophet came to anoint the next king of Israel, he asked Jesse to see his sons, and Jesse showed him his 7 sons, but he didn't show him David, because David was his son, but not by his wife. He had been messing with the help, so David was out taking care of the sheep. That's true. But David, unlike his half-brothers, loved his daddy and wanted his daddy's approval. And when the lion came to kill his daddy's sheep, he could have run, but he didn't. He said the Spirit of the Lord came on him. He's out there worshiping God with his little homemade guitar or whatever it was he used to make music. And he was praising God. He's the guy that wrote this. He's the only guy in the Bible that God said, he's a man after my own heart. You know, David was doing something right. We know he did something wrong, but he was doing something right. David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, Psalm 103. And all that's within me, bless his holy name. Then he said it again, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not one of all the benefits. He starts listing the benefits of being a child of God. Now, man, this is a list you ought to get memorized, people. If you're a child of God, you ought to get this in your spirit. Bless the Lord and forget not all his benefits. Let's go to verse 3, please. Who forgives all your sin, iniquity. Say he forgives all my sin. Do y'all believe that? Y'all believe that? Now, if he only forgave some of them, you'd still have to go to hell. This is good stuff, y'all. Come on now. All you got, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. All you got to do is confess them. Thank God you don't have to tell them to anybody else, because they'll use it on you, but God won't. Amen. He forgives all of our iniquities. And I want you to look at this next verse, because lots of Christians believe this until the doctor tells them something else. Let's back up one, please. He forgives all of our sins. He heals all of your diseases. Say this out loud. If I get sick, if I catch some bad disease, God heals all my diseases. All. All. Y'all know, this is South Carolina. Y'all know how to say all. Y'all know what all means? That means all of them. It don't matter if they come up with a new flesh-eating bacteria or whatever. You know, if ISIS invents a new kind of poisonous whatever, it don't matter. No weapon. Zero. Absolutely impossible to create a biological, nuclear, any kind of weapon that will work on you if you believe God. No weapon formed against you will ever prosper in Jesus' name. But you got to believe it. And then you got to say it. And then you got to expect it. And what do you do when it don't look like it's working? What do you do when you're still hurting and you're still, and the symptoms are still bad and they can still see it in your blood, and everything says this ain't working? That's when you, having done all else to stand, you keep standing, you keep resisting the devil, you don't ever give in, you fight the good fight of faith. All the tests are not the same. When you're in kindergarten, all you got to do is color inside the lines. You keep your crayon inside the lines, you pass the test. Now, when you get in, when you're a senior in college, you're going for your master's degree, the test is going to be a little bit more complex. But you've been prepared for 15 or 20 years. You've been studying. And if you're studying to show yourself approved unto God, you ace that baby. The test will come, and as soon as you get out of the test, you get promoted. And you get your master's degree in God. You know what a master's degree in God is like? You whoop the devil all day, every day. You whip him so bad, he don't want to mess with you. He comes down the street looking for somebody to mess with, and he looks at your house and thinks, No, I ain't going back in there. I'm going to go get this guy down here is religious. I'm going to give him a bad time. Come on. It's just a test. And God is honest. Say it with me. God is honest. I believe God is honest. I believe every word in the Word of God is the truth. And the truth that I believe and I say and I expect to happen in my life comes true in my life and sets me free, and free indeed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to turn. Did you learn anything today? I only went 6 minutes over time. Jesus could come this week. That's fairly miraculous for me. Now, let me share this, because Pastor's going to come up and receive an offering for our ministry. I don't, on our TV show, I don't talk about money a lot. I tithe, our ministry tithes. We sow, and our ministry sows. When the Lord told us to do this TV show, we knew we were going to need a lot of money. And we said, he said, well, you know what to do. Time to sow. And we said, okay. And we said, where and how much? And the answer to that question scared me so bad when he told me how much. I told him, I said, okay, Lord, you know, I'm willing to do that, but I need you to talk to Christy. I don't want to be the one to try to talk her into that. And so I just sort of left it alone. And a few days later, she came to me. I didn't ask her. She came to me and said, I believe the Lord said that we need to sow. And she gave me the exact amount and even told me who we were supposed to sow it in. And so we did that, and God started supplying the need. Now, I don't need to get on TV, and I don't need to get up here and talk about and make a big play for money, because God promised to supply my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So if he tells me to do a TV show and it takes a lot of money, he's going to supply it, and I don't need to worry about it. And I don't worry about it. I don't think about it, and I don't worry about it. My job is to do what he told me. His job is to be my God, and he is faithful. He is true. So if you want to be, we have this thing called Team Milan. It just means that those people pray for us, and they do what God tells them concerning finances. We don't offer any plastic Jesus, plug him in the wall, glows in the dark, monthly gift. You know what I mean? No, we encourage people to live by faith. We don't have any gimmicks. If you want to get people born again and you want to reach out to, and since we go about it a little different, you know, we don't, the only place we don't ever film is in church. We film out in Grand Canyon or someplace, wherever God calls us to preach. When we go there, we take the crew with us and we try to find a pretty place, rent a house out in the middle, a quiet place, and we try to do some shows where it's quiet and private. And it's a Bible study. And I hope this doesn't offend you. I pray that this does not offend you. But my goal is to do like a a Bible study specifically aimed at people who don't watch Christian TV usually.
Amen.
Now, us Christians, we watch it all. I love the Word of God, and I'll receive it from anybody. I don't care if they're wearing a tie or how they dress or how they do their hair or anything. But the world lives by, we live by faith. The world lives by sight. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to present the gospel in a different way to reach a different segment of society that has never watched Christian TV, that doesn't go to church. And if you think that's important and you want to help us, then pastor's going to receive an offering for our ministry. And whatever you do, I promise you, I'll do my part. Me and Christy will go into all the world. As long as we're breathing, we will be preaching the Word of God, and we will be believing Him and trusting Him. And I'll do my part. If you do your part, God will do His part. Me and you'll take some people to heaven that would have gone to hell. Amen. Man, God bless y'all. I sure do love you, man.
That's
thank you
good.
For letting us share with you. Thank you,
Pastor. Have you enjoyed the...